And welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B. here, executive director. Really excited to have this discussion on our list of episodes. But I've been a long time, I guess, acquaintance or friend with Matt Tanner, who is part of Roll Fast, if you haven't heard of that group, that team. But Matt Tanner, I'm usually chasing and gasping for air, trying to keep up with Matt Tanner. But very talented rider, big rider in the state of Indiana and different events. But he started a new organization that gets younger kids riding on bikes without their training wheels. And he saw a great need for in his area, which is in the Carmel area. And he works with the city of Carmel with some partnerships and sponsorships to get more kids on bikes in his area. So I hope you enjoy this episode. And again, they'll talk about the ins and the outs of the program, as well as I'll drop information into the description so you can contact him if you are wanting to connect. All right, enjoy. All right, welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. On this week's episode or this call, I've got two great individuals that are going to talk about their program called Learn to Ride. And I'm really excited because one, I'm new to this program and I want to learn more about this program. But this is a particular program that's getting younger kids on bikes and learning how to ride. So welcome to the call. I've got Matt Tanner and Lauren. And Lauren, I don't remember your last name. I'm so sorry.
Spatafor.
So I'm going to take a quick moment. I'm going to put Matt on the spot real quick. You want to take a moment to introduce yourself, Matt?
Sure. I'm Matt Tanner, Carmel, Indiana resident and living the winter in Florida. And we're just sitting here waiting for a hurricane to show up today.
Oh boy.
But you may know me from some other cycling stuff I've done over the years. I'm the founder of Roll Fast Cycling, a club that's geared towards mental fitness. It's a nonprofit, and we've put on a number of events over the last several years. And I work with the city of Carmel and putting on all of their bicycle events through the summer, primarily for kids and adults. And another big ride we do for the city of Carmel is the Roundabout Ride. We just had that about a month ago, and really successful event. Lauren rode in the event, and
that was great.
Nice.
It was a good time. But through all that, I've identified sort of some needs in our community and I think around the country, and realized that there's a lot of kids that I think are old enough that should know how to ride on two wheels and they don't know how to do it. And so I kind of did a lot of research in my entrepreneurial mind and looked at other programs around the country that were teaching kids to ride and sort of picked the best pieces of each of those programs and created my own. And we call it Learn to Ride. And in a nutshell, it's a 2-hour workshop where the coaches and their assistants lead the children through a 4-step process where we teach them to ride a bicycle in 2 hours without training wheels.
Nice. Yeah, we'll dive more into it and more specific. But I always try to think on these calls when I meet or interview people. And some people I've known for years, and Lauren, I'm meeting you for the first time, but I had to think the first time I ever met you, Matt, and I think I have the memory, and it was on the Rain Ride in 2018. And I've always known you from Roll Fast. And that's why I'm really excited to learn more about this other part of your life that you're really passionate about. But I just remember we were like in a pace line going down the rain route. And I just see you go flying by behind this truck and you're just hauling and motor pacing. And we were like, oh, there goes Matt Tanner. And that I think was the first time that I ever laid eyes on you.
Just really? Hauling that down was, the road. Yeah, that was the year I was with the lead group and got a flat tire. Like,
oh, I didn't know that.
10 miles out from the finish. And, my wife, Chris, was driving the truck. She brought me a spare wheel and I threw it on and tried to catch the front group, but they already finished.
So. I don't know. I don't remember when it was, but I was like, oh, yeah. I guess that's Matt Tanner. So
that's hilarious.
Lauren, do you want to take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Lauren Spatafor. I am an avid cyclist, been doing it since I was a kid. I think that's why this program clicked with me. I have some great memories riding my bike with my dad and then as a tween and a teenager riding like all day, the freedom that it gave me. And I never stopped. I've ridden with groups. I'm not super competitive, so I just like to get out there and do my best. And I ride probably 2,000 miles a year, a commute to work. And I've done a couple of math rides. They've been great. But I work at a school. So, and I've done Boy Scouts and I've led a couple Boy Scout bike rides too. Yeah. So, this was really natural for me to get involved when I saw that Matt was teaching children. I'm like, well, that's right up my alley. I think I click pretty well with them. Absolutely. And can give them the guidance that they need in the way they need.
Sure. And I think having that school background, you know, looking at the different programs that are school-based in the state and as well as the U.S., I mean, we have 913 sports, which is, you know, what is it, elementary, middle school. And then we have NICA, which was my previous job, which is 6th to 12th grade, but specifically mountain biking. But now we have this, which I'm really excited to talk about. So, well, welcome to the show, both of you, Lauren and Matt. Like I said, really, really stoked for you to be here. I'm going to dive right into it, Matt. I know you kind of talked a little bit about what this program is in your intro, but let's really dive deep into this. And Lauren, please, you know, if you want to step in and say anything, just we'll talk about it and figure it out. So Matt, do you want to go ahead and kind of talk about the program?
Sure. Yeah. So, as I kind of stated earlier, two years ago, like I said, I've been working with the City of Carmel for, I think, 8 years now as a, independent contractor putting on events for the City of Carmel. And through that, we put on a number of kids rides. And one of the kids events we do is called the Family Fun Ride. And at that, we have a bike rodeo where kids get to, you know, practice their skills and go over ramps and rumble strips and all kinds of fun stuff. And it's a big draw for the kids. And I saw so many kids there that were on training wheels and they were, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. And I was just shaking my head. I was like, this is crazy in our city of Carmel that we have all of this bicycle and multi-use path infrastructure for, you know, you can go anywhere in Carmel and really ride your bike anywhere you want to go. When my kid was young, probably age 7, I just turned them loose and said, you know, use your phone and figure out where you're at and figure out where you want to go and ride there. And, you know, they everywhere was on the bike, like when I was a kid. So to me, it was kind of frustrating at the Bike Carmel events that there were these kids that couldn't ride on two wheels and they were really limited in this obstacle course. You know, by turning, you know, the way you have to lean a bike with training wheels on, you can't do that. And, you know, their back wheel would come off the ground. They'd be pedaling and the back wheel would be spinning and, they couldn't go up the ramp. And I was just like, this is crazy. Like there's gotta be, a way to teach these kids. And, you know, I think a lot of just what's happened in our society and, you know, parents are get frustrated trying to teach kids. I mean, I know it's sometimes challenging working with your own child and, you know, I just thought we could address this. So I took a proposal to the City of Carmel and said, look, I would like some, support. I want to create this program and, I would like you guys to partner with me. And what that enabled me to do was a couple of things to get the word out. One, I could use their past participant mailing list to sort of advertise this to. And the other benefit was I could do the events in places the city approved in school parking lots and whatnot with their assistance, which kind of streamlined the process for me. Mm-hmm. So we held our first, like, what did we call it? It was kind of like a test run workshop. And we made it free and we got, I think we had like 7 kids at that one, which right now we limit the classes typically to 5. So it was kind of a bigger turnout. And at the end of the session, we had 7 kids riding. And I was like, whoa, like this process really works. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to work or not. You know, it was just kind of, let's give it a shot and see what happens. And it worked. And we had like 7 kids riding immediately in 2 hours. And I thought, well, okay, this process seems pretty good. And that's when I took it back to the city. I was like, okay, I think we've got something. Let's figure out what we can charge for this and see what the demand or what the, you know, what the public is willing to do to come to this. And I don't remember our sellout rate, but it was near 100% for that first year with attendance. And the reviews were really, really good. Our parent reviews are amazing. I mean, it's kind of a magical thing for the parents when they see their kids learn a skill like this. And
sure.
They're really, you know, the kids are super proud that they learned something that maybe they've struggled with for some time. And we helped the parents do something that they couldn't achieve on their own. So our reviews were like off the charts. And I think still today, I mean, I know still today we have are 5-star reviews. So we don't have anybody, you know, it was great, but you know, they're right. All just like over the top. Like it was amazing. So the program worked and, I said, okay, you know, last year we started it like halfway through the summer and we had like half a season and we had a wait list. And, as you guys know, the winters in Indiana aren't really conducive to teaching kids to ride bikes outside. So first thing in spring, like when school let out, I said, we're going to do a ton of workshops. And we put together, we had about 3 or 4 workshops a week, every week through the summer. Almost all of them were sold out. I think we had like 1 or 2 spots that didn't sell. And our success rate is, I think currently I keep track every single workshop. So I think our current success rate is like 88 or 89% success mm-hmm. rate. So, you know, really effective and, you know, just a really cool thing to provide to the community.
Sure. So to back up, so you had the pilot event, you said last year?
Yeah, it was, I don't remember the day off the top of my head, but it was the middle of summer last year.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And to date, we've taught right at, we're just about to cross over 200 kids.
That's, that was a question I had on my list of specifically yeah. So I'm going to switch over to Lauren and talk a little bit about the structure of the program. So you have these workshops. Do the kids take 1 workshop, 2, 3? How does that work if a parent is listening right now and that wants to join?
They take 1 workshop. They come in with their bike and we usually tell them if they have 2 size bikes, like maybe the parent bought them a new one, bring both bikes and we're going to see which one will work better for them getting on 2 wheels. So they come in, they check in, we get them excited. We have a certificate and we reward them for every step of the way with stars. And so, you know, after they hit this one milestone, oh, let's go get a star, you know, and sometimes we have younger teens that are volunteering there too, and they get them really excited about that. And we move on to the next step. The parents usually stay and watch. There might be some that say, he or she's not going to work with me standing here, or right. I won't be able to step back and let somebody else do this, you know? So they take off for a while. We usually tell them to come back in about 90 minutes. And by then they are mostly on 2 wheels or just really, really close. One of the things that we do is called the glide. And once they do that, we get them back on, we put the pedals back on and we get them back, you know, pedaling, and then their faces just light up and the parents too. So yeah. Many pictures, right, Matt? Mm-hmm. We get so excited.
Well, and I always talk about this, and my previous job was getting kids on bikes in a different age range and kind of discipline, which was mountain biking and racing and potentially going collegiate. Right. Mm-hmm. But cycling is a lifelong sport, you know, from young to older. I just recorded a podcast with 2 guys, 1 out of, Indianapolis and 1 that used to live here, but lives in Arizona. And they're both around in their 80s and they're biking every single day. Now to them, spoiler alert to this podcast, the secret to riding at in your 80s is taking naps. So just remember that. But anyway, cycling is a lifelong sport. And this is a prime example of what you're doing and teaching younger kids how to ride a bike. Okay, so the next question, you said that the clinic is about 2 hours long. Parents can stay or they cannot stay. Do you have any parents that join in, or are they not allowed to? As you're both smiling.
Yeah. Some, I'll take this. I'll let Lauren go too. But there, one of the important things with our workshops, we typically try to get volunteers to help out as well. Sure. There was one session this summer where we were in dire need of volunteers. And, you know, this is a new program where it's still kind of, we're kind of learning some things as we go, like best practices. And, sure. I made the decision to ask the parents if they wanted to volunteer, and they kind of all put their hands up, and it was kind of, made it a little more challenging because, sure. They didn't know our system, our process, where our volunteers that we've had have been back and back again, again, again. Lauren started out as a volunteer and, was there a ton and knows the process really well. But, the parents we've had volunteer, although they mean well, a lot of times, they want to work directly with their kid or whatever. And it's kind of back to like, well, then you just teach them on your own and they run into the same roadblocks. So, typically the parents that stay sit on the sidelines, and that's typically, the best place for them to be.
No, I've seen it in both scenarios and I agree with you. And Lauren, what did you want to say?
Matt makes it fun. He engages the kids. He'll joke with them, and get them really geared up and ready for this, you know, they're psyched. And, so it is really best to kind of let us run with it, because we can make that connection with the kids that is different than the relationship they have with their parents.
Sure.
So we get a little bit different response sometimes. And if somebody's scared, we help them through that. We have, you know, some students that are afraid to go too fast, which isn't really fast, but to them it is. And, you know, so it's just a lot of like confidence building.
Definitely.
That comes from us. I remember one of the first events I saw this in action last summer, Matt. The little girl was riding around and she, like, I think she fell. She was completely on her own, and she got up and she got back on, and the parents sat there and said, she would have never done that at home. Right. She would have been in the house crying. Right.
Right.
It's just a different environment for them, and they feel, you know, enabled to be able to ride.
Sure. So again, the age range, do you want to repeat that, Matt? How old are the kids?
We've been learning as we go. We've learned that age six is really the starting point. Okay. We do six and up. We've taught kids. I think we had our first year, we had a kid that was, I think, 17. He was recently adopted and had been in like the system his whole life and didn't have an opportunity to learn. And at 17, he came through. He was a great kid. I mean, just an amazing kid. And it was a different experience for us because he was a big kid too. We have pictures of him. He was like a foot taller than me, and like, you know, trying to hold up his bike and him on it was, sure. it was different. But we started age six. That's the cutoff.
Okay. And then I'm looking kind of at your website right now with all the different clinics. So it looks like you have some in October. I'm gonna have you talk about that. But what is your typical kind of, I guess, monthly outlook of what you're trying to do during the riding season?
Yeah. So a little bit more about the program. We're currently looking for more coaches. So anybody listening that wants to be a coach, go to learntoride.us, look for the become a coach tab and click it, or message me. But the more coaches we have, the more workshops we'll have, basically, bottom line. This, like I said, this last summer, we were running 3 to 4 a week. I see that being probably more in 2025, probably more workshops per week. Again, the weather in Indiana is kind of a limiting factor. It's just kind of an unknown, like it could be amazing in October, like this month has been.
Yeah.
Or you could have snow on Halloween. So, was it last year we went trick or treating with our grandkids and it was snowing.
Yeah.
It was so cold.
Remember that.
I'm working on some partnerships with some other places that we're going to try to have an indoor, option. I won't say too much about that right now. That's all still in the works, but, that would be our plan next year, is to have more workshops through the summer. And then try to offer some in sort of the off season, possibly indoors.
Sure. So let's talk about coaching. That's on my list. with my previous job with NYCA, which we have a podcast about as well, getting kids on mountain bikes and racing, all the coaches that I had to, you know, manage and make sure they were all up to date on certain, you know, requirements, like they had to be CDC, head concussion trained, CPR, first aid, and a background check, which was required across the U.S. But what do your coaches have to be trained in, and what's the process? And maybe I'll give this to Lauren since she is a coach. What did you have to do when you became a coach?
Well, first, you have to have the love for children and want to work with them. I'm CPR trained. I'm first aid trained. I've done all of that. I'm not really sure much more than that. I'm trying to remember the application, Matt. What all did you have on there? But it was definitely first aid experience, which, sure, you know, I've done throughout my life with scouts, with school. We haven't had any injuries either, have we, Matt? It's been, you know, maybe a band-aid here just to make me feel better. But it's a pretty safe program too. Matt, why don't you take it from there? What else are you looking for?
Yeah, I think Lauren kind of hit it on the head. I think all of the, you know, first aid and CPR training are a big bonus. At this point, we don't require that. The, like Lauren just said, our program's really very safe. Most of the time is spent really sitting on the bike more than riding where an accident would happen. To date, all of the workshops have been held in, pretty much like basketball courts where there's no traffic, even possible. We are insured, and all of our coaches are insured individually too. But you know, the safety thing, especially in Carmel, with as good as our resources are, is if there's a serious injury, we're going to call 911 anyway. Right. But like Lauren said, most of our stuff, we've had a couple of fall downs, some scraped knees and elbows, and a few tears here and there. But it's usually a Band-Aid and, you know, a hug, and they're back up and riding. So. Right. Those are really the requirements. I think for coaches, though, what we're, I think Lauren's honestly like the perfect, what's the word, like, you know, example of what we're looking for.
Sure.
The avatar for my coaches are anybody that's been involved in like Boy Scouts or coach or teaching or schools or people that have time in the summer that, you know, maybe they're a teacher that works and has free time in the summer and wants to make a little bit of extra money. Those are really the people I'm looking for. At first, you know, my cycling mind was like, I got to find some of my cycling friends that would want to be coaches. And, you know, just because you're a good cyclist doesn't mean you're good at working with little kids.
Sure.
And, you know, the knowledge you have about cycling is important a little bit, but really we're trying to teach kids a really basic, you know, skill. They don't need to know how to corner or how to, you know, descend or do things like, even in like your mountain bike, coaching classes that you taught, you know, it's not so much about that stuff as it is learning balance and learning how to pedal and learning how to brake and turn. And, it's amazing how quickly some of the little kids will pick this up and how fast, a young person can grab new skills. You just learn so much faster when you're younger. So,
sure.
Another thing that Matt's really good about is engaging them when they bring the bikes in. We check the air pressure, we inflate them, we'll let them do it. We'll show them, here, do this, you know, here's a wrench, or we're going to do this. We'll adjust the seat. And so we're kind of showing them. And even at 6 years old, they're taking ownership of it. They're like, I can do something. You know, mom doesn't have to do everything for me. I can do this. Right. And so that's kind of rewarding to see that too. And like I said, we have those incentives along the way. We usually have a big jug of water. They bring their own, but we have more water and cookies and things for them to snack on, so that if they do get burned out or they're just not making a lot of progress, we get them a snack, take a break, and join back in when you're ready.
Sure. So speaking about equipment, what if a child shows up and doesn't have a bike but wants to learn how to ride a bike, or the bike's too big or the bike's too small? Do you guys offer something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've been working on a partnership for about a year with Woom Bicycles, W-O-O-M. If you've seen them or know them, you know that they're really high quality. They make adult bikes, but they're really high quality kids bikes, really perfect for teaching kids to ride on. And I've worked with some companies around Indiana and have got a handful of sponsorships to purchase womb bikes for the workshops That's in great. Indiana. So right now we do offer bikes. We kind of, we really want to teach them on their own bikes. So when they go home, they know sure. how to ride the bike that they have. But we do see some kids show up. I mean, you know, you see everything. You see people that show up with yard sale bikes or Walmart yep. bikes or whatever that are just really beat up. The brakes may not work. The you know, the tires, you know, they may not even roll very well. That really increases the difficulty level on teaching a kid to learn. So we'll swap out one of our bikes to teach them on. And about, like Lauren said, you know, 90 minutes into the class, we'll say, hey, let's try your bike now. And they just get on it. And usually they just get on it and just ride. Sure. Even if it's too big or whatever, it's, you know, not as challenging of a task.
Yeah. Sure.
So I'm on your website right now and I see this picture of you on a little cute bike and I'm going to save that picture. But anyway,
that's you.
There's step 1, 2, 3, and 4 you have listed publicly on your website. We've talked a little bit about them, but I kind of want to dive a little deeper into this. So step 1, okay. The flamingo. Lauren, do you want to talk briefly about what the flamingo is for step 1?
The flamingo is basically standing on one foot. Okay. So we take the pedals off the bikes for the kids and we have them sit on the seat. It's usually pretty low, one flat footed. And we talk about a penguin. Matt brings a little stuffed penguin and asks them if they know how do they stand.
I'm so excited.
The kids will tell them. And then we, you know, we'll get somebody to demonstrate that. And then we teach them to the magic flamingo, which is no feet. And so we kind of hold the bike steady for them and let go. And then they're going to put a foot down, and that's building confidence and feeling that sense of balance too. Then usually we give the flamingo to a student and then they get to ride with the flamingo on their bike the rest of the day. That just, cute. You know, urges them on too. So that's the first step, right, Matt? The roll, that's still part of the flamingo, right? When we,
right.
you know, have a little bit of a gradual slope. And so we'll just move the handlebars and pull them. We'll be walking backwards and kind of pull them forward a couple feet and let go. And if they roll, great. But if more than likely, they're going to put one foot down, which is just a confidence builder, you know.
Sure.
I usually say, look, see, your feet aren't going to let you fall. They're going to stop you.
Right.
You
know? Right. Okay. Step 2, the frog hop. Matt, you want to take that one?
Sure. So, like Lauren said, we do the flamingo and then we give them a gold star to put on their progress chart. And that kind of gives us a quick break, you know, I mean, like a 2-minute break, but we let them put the star on their chart. You know, we show them where their chart is. And the chart tells you what the next 3 steps are too. So it's interesting. Like sometimes we'll test the kids and be like, what's step 2? Or do you know what step 2 is? And some of them kind of read ahead and some have like no clue what's going on.
Right.
But step 2 is the frog hop. And the goal of that is really just to learn to propel the bike forward on your own, with your feet on the ground. So, you know, we have a frog stuffed animal. Same thing. We talk about how does a frog move itself and it hops forward. A lot of the kids like jump straight up in the air. And I'm like, that's not going to work. But, you know, we want you to jump forward and basically we want you to act like a frog on the bike with sure. both feet, you know, take a big hop and see how far you can push the bike forward. Sometimes they go like, you know, 6 inches and they put both feet down. Sometimes they hop and they go, you know, 10 or 20 feet. And we're like, oh, this kid's going to get it fast. Right. So that kind of gives the coaches a heads up, you know, for the next couple steps. But we do frog hops for a while. We have sidewalk chalk. We'll say take 3 hops. We'll do this individually. So each kid goes on their own. The other kids watch and we'll say, you know, take 3 hops and see how far you can get. We mark their spot with chalk on the ground. And we make sure it's not competitive. So we say, you know, all you're trying to do is go further than your line on your next turn. Doesn't matter what, you know, the kid next to you, how far they go. They may only go a foot. They may go all the way across the parking lot. That's their goal, to beat their chalk mark. Yours is to beat your own. So we'll go through a number of rounds of doing that and see if they can go further and further. Mm-hmm. And usually the coaches will know how much time we need to spend on that step. It kind of depends on, you know, there may be different levels of ability in the class. Some kids may really struggle with the second step, and some kids, like I said, they may go across the whole parking lot. And that's when the volunteers become really helpful, because we can divide the class up into to two groups if we need to, but that's the frog hop.
Okay. Step three, Lauren, glide. It says glide 15 on the website.
Glide 15. So we have a bird for that one. I think it's a parrot. And we talk about the birds gliding in the air, and that's what we want them to do. So we take them maybe to a different section of the parking lot where there might be a gradual slope, and we set them up there and kind of do the same thing with holding the handlebars facing the child. And we want them to do three frog hops and then glide, like pick your feet up and just go as far as you can. Sure. Some of them don't go anywhere. Some of them put their feet down immediately. Some of them are maybe putting one foot down and wobbling back and forth. But the goal is to just keep doing this over and over and over again until you can do it for 15 seconds. And sometimes it's a fast 15 seconds. Just depends right. on how far we count. But so we get everybody else involved too. We're like, hey, I think this kid's ready. And so we'll, you know, get everybody to stop and watch. And, you know, we will all count to 15 and really encourage them and support them. And then they go and get another sticker from there too. So those are all like the little built-in rewards for them.
Sure. Okay, the last step, Matt, find your pedals.
Yeah, that's the exciting one. The step Lauren just talked about, a lot of times our sessions, that'll be an hour to maybe even an hour and a half. And sometimes most of the kids that don't fully complete the session and learn to ride, they get stuck on that glide 15. Step. So that's definitely the hardest step. But the next step is find your pedals. And it's kind of just, it's almost like a reward step. Once you can glide, you've pretty much mastered the balance and a little bit of steering, and you kind of have, more confidence on, you know, the bike moving, even though you're not really propelling it by pedaling. So, the next step is we put their pedals back on, and, we usually give them an encouragement talk individually and, show them, you know, put your feet on the pedals and I like to say, find your pedals. And I try to get them to do that without looking down at the pedals so they can look where they're going. Typically, one of my secrets is if you look down, you fall down.
Mm-hmm. Look where you want to go. Chin up.
Yes. And it's really hard for the kids a lot of times, some more than others. But so I try to teach them to find their pedals without looking down for them. So, I want to make sure they understand the mechanics or the technique of pedaling forward. Some of the bikes have brakes if you pedal backwards and they don't know which way to pedal. Typically, this is where the kids that had training wheels are more, have more an advantage. If they've been on like a glider bike their whole life, they don't understand what pedaling means. You know, they don't know which way to go, or their legs don't have that, you know, built in, tool set, available. So we make sure they know which way to pedal. And basically then we, one of the things I'm proud of is like we never really touched the kids to push them to get them going or to assist them in riding. Like you have to learn to do it on your own. Like your mom or dad or coach is not always going to be there to give you a push to get you going. So, you know, we tell them, okay, your pedals are on. You're going to do a frog hop and then glide and then find your pedals and just start pedaling. And like I said, once they've got the third star, this fourth step is really just a reward. And most of the times they just start riding. I mean, it's like, it's magic. So the parents see that. If they see that step, their jaws are on the floor.
Yeah. Well, next race that I'm at with you, I want a pep talk from you before you rip my legs off.
I got you.
You promise me.
I got you. I'll give you some tips.
Keep pedaling, Margaret, and chase me.
Yeah.
As you rip my legs off. Okay.
I said, I always try to be friendly to you.
You are, because I'm always like, hold on to his wheel for 5 minutes. Okay. So I have some maybe more, not difficult questions, but more serious questions. What are some challenges that you, not necessarily working with the kids, but what are some challenges as the organization, as you're growing this? What are some of the things that you've been kind of challenged with?
Yeah. Some of the basics, just location, where to have these events. We've got some really good spots in Carmel, in Indiana. As we're growing, I'm in Florida right now, and we're I want to grow this nationally. And I know I ride with a large group of cyclists in Florida down here in Clearwater, a really good group of people. I love some of these people down here are my best friends, and trying to get the word out to that market and then start all over again, find places here to hold workshops. Sure. I'm not as well connected in the community here as I am in Indiana. So that's a big challenge. But I think, you know, the big challenge I'm working on right now is really just finding more coaches that are excited to be a part of this. We've got three right now. We've got Lauren and two others. And that's a great group for the Carmel area. But, you know, I want to grow this, you know, in Greenfield and
maybe Terre Haute,
wherever, you know. I really want to grow it around the state. You know, I'm born and raised in Indiana, and that's my that's where my heart's at. So I want to grow it there bigger. I need to find more coaches. I think once we have the coaches and we have them trained and they see how a workshop works, I shouldn't say it's not challenging, but I think we could have a lot of really good coaches teaching workshops.
Oh, absolutely.
And impact a lot of kids around the state of Indiana.
Absolutely. Lauren, do you have any challenges that you think you want to talk about?
I think, like Max said, it would be the location. I live completely on the west side of Carmel. And so I'm looking at some locations around here and into Zionsville, maybe just to reach a broader audience. But I think once we're established, once we're doing this, that and the people see how successful it is, I think that's going to build excitement for other coaches to say, hey, I could do that, you know, and get them on board with it too. So, you know, with expanding just into other places around Indiana, if it's a matter of like coaching a coach, you know, getting them to go, I'm happy to come in and help them with that too. So there's lots of opportunities.
So speaking of venues, this just popped in my head as we were talking, you're saying the challenges of finding a venue. Are the venues that you pick, are they charging you? Do you have to have insurance? Cause I know some indie parks, you have to file permits and other things and pay. And other places are just like, whoa, like it, liability and insurance wise, I don't want a bunch of kids riding around cause they could hurt themselves, you know. Are those some things that come up into your situation?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's different, location by location. Typically the schools, well, I've never had a school charge us, but all of the liability issues and insurance issues are and permitting are all, realities of, you know, the day and age in the United States that we live in. It's funny you brought that up, cause I'm working with, some programmers in Pakistan on some technology for our backend stuff for our coaches. And, they were looking at, we're doing some financial CRM tools. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what's this and this and this. And I'm like, well, that's insurance. And he's like, why do you have to pay that much money in insurance? Like, what is that? Like they had no concept. And I'm like, no, this is the United States. Like you have to have insurance for everything. And
you do,
it blew them away. But yeah, our locations, that's typical of our situation too.
Okay. I have this written on my paper, the cost for a child to participate. I think you briefly mentioned it, but how much does it cost for our listeners to know, to take a clinic?
Right. It's $100 per child. That gets you 1 2-hour session. We don't guarantee results, but like I said, our results are near 90% success rate. It has happened in the past where kids were really close and their parents are like, can we sign them up for another class or can we sign them up for a refresher? And like, sure. And so, you know, then we've got, you know, Cora comes again to take another class and it's great. So $100 per kid and we get them going.
So if you want to become a coach, reach out to you. You're looking for coaches. If you want to start your own learn to ride group in your area, contact you. What is the best way to contact you, Matt?
info@learntoride.us.
Cool. I'll drop your information into the description of the podcast, but I just wanted you to announce that. But learntoride.us. I'm not done asking questions. You're not off the hook yet. I've got a couple more questions. But I'm going to put this on Lauren right now, and then I'm going to ask you, Matt. But Lauren, what's your favorite memory so far? Do you have one particular memory?
She's thinking. Yeah, because there were a lot. There was one older student. He was like maybe 9, maybe 10, was completely convinced he was never going to learn to ride. I've had this bike for 4 years. I've never ridden. I'm not going to be able to do this. And I said, you know, let's have a growth mindset. Let's think about this. You can do this. You're one of the older ones. So you're going to have an advantage, and you've been trying for 4 years. He got pretty frustrated. I remember he threw his bike down, right, Matt? And Matt walked over and said, that's not how we treat bikes. And I talked to him. He took a break, sat down and said, I will work with you one-on-one if that's what you need, you know, but you let me know. And I kind of put it in his hands. And by the time we got to the gliding, maybe even the end of the frog hops, he brought his bike over and he was ready to try again. And, you know, he was the first one out of that group to be with his pedals on. Oh. So that just made him so proud.
Sure.
He's, you know, really happy. So sure. That was probably one of my best memories.
Matt, what's your favorite memory? Yeah. Dropping
well,
me
I
at
remember
races.
The-
I'm kidding.
No, I remember that time Lauren's talking about. That was, I think he threw down one of my bikes. So oh,
okay.
Oops.
I was like, wait a minute. I mean, you know, it's similar to Lauren, and it's funny as a coach to these little kids, after you see 200 of them, not that they all blend together, but the names are hard to remember. And there's just been so many successes. It's kind of every single workshop. It's it's like racing in a race and getting a good result, you know.
Sure.
That high at the end when you've got all five kids riding and you've got 30 minutes left in the workshop, and then you can like maybe work on, okay, now we're going to work on going around these cones, and now we're going to work on, you know, braking. And and the parents come back, or they're there, and they're just, you know, so impressed that anybody could teach their kid to learn to ride. And just that feeling, like over and over again, it's kind of an addictive gratification just seeing them succeed. You know, the pictures are, we do have a lot of pictures, Lauren, I think said earlier, and the pictures of the kids at the end when they have their progress chart with all four stars, and they're like smiling ear to ear, and they've got their bike with them. Like those are really the reasons that I think Lauren probably also, but that's the reason I enjoy it.
Absolutely. No, I've seen this type of work across the state, not specifically what, you know, exactly what you're doing, but I've seen empowering kids and getting kids to feel safe and riding and racing and being on the bike and also being around other bikers, right? Because riding in a big group or racing in a situation is very, you know, scary. And I'm just going to share a quick memory that when I was leading the Indiana Interscholastic League, which is the mountain biking league, there was a kid, he was a senior in high school, and he was probably, I don't know, 6'2". I mean, he's a big guy, and he had a bike that did not fit him, but he was terrified to race, but he wanted to do it. So he finally gets to the final race that he could make it. And again, he's 6 foot, you know, 6'2", and he's coming into the finish line for his last lap. And we're waiting because we're wondering if he's going to hit the time limit, right? All of the kids on his team that are probably half his size are running down the finish chute, cheering this kid on. And he makes the cutoff by a minute, and he goes into his final lap. And then at the end, it was like a scene from the movie where all the kids, he drops his bike at the finish line and they're all cheering him on. And it was just something magical for this kid that was a senior that, you know, clearly was very scared, but at the same time, he accomplished something so great. And he had his entire team there cheering him on, which, let's be real, that's an incredible feeling for, you know, anyone at any age.
Yeah, that's right.
So I asked about the cost. Okay, what are the goals for next year? Like, do you have a certain number of children that you want to, you know, you had 200 you said about this year. What's the goals for next year, Matt?
I think we're so young, so new to this. I think for me, setting a number goal isn't really super productive, because I think the opportunities there to equal that number or maybe do more, and that 200's over the last few seasons, which is really a year and a half, but you know, if we could do 200 kids in Indiana next year, I would be happy. I think with the coaches we have now, I think our capacity is greater. It's just really kind of difficult to judge what the demand is. I don't think we're ever going to run out of kids to teach to learn to ride, but it'll be interesting just to see where that number lands, I guess.
Sure.
You know, from my standpoint, I'm thinking, you know, even at two workshops a week for 8 weeks, you're looking at 80 kids right there. And right. That would be like a great goal for me to have, let alone the other coaches. And if they're doing that many, then yeah, we could have 200 this summer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm looking at your website, social media platforms. You're on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Yep. LearnToRide.us. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about? Anything else, memories, anything you want to share for the state of Indiana to know?
And what am I leaving out? No, I will say, I guess one thing I was thinking earlier, the, doesn't really end your interview real well, but the one thing that we have really been blessed with is word of mouth with the parents that have taken kids there in the past. Every review we've gotten has been instrumental in finding the next kid. And, I've heard so many people. I met a lady at the dog park in Clay Terrace, and she had her kids with her. And we just started talking because our dogs were playing. And she asked what I did, and I said, I'm starting this. This was last year. She brought her kid. He learned to ride. We've had three other families referred by her. So it's kind of, you know, this viral thing that the more people we get enrolled in the program, the more word spreads. And that's how we've gotten a lot of our kids. So, you know, if you have attended or if you do attend, please leave a review. Please tell your neighbors, tell your family. We've had, we had people from, we had a woman from Hagerstown this year. If you know, you probably know where that's at, just touring Indiana. No.
No.
Okay.
I can Google it real quick.
We had a person drive, it's about 2 hours. Whoa. to enroll her kid because she heard from her sister-in-law that their kid learned, and she was like, well, there's nowhere else to do this. We're going to come here.
But there you go.
We had kids from Florida. They were visiting their grandmother in Indiana, which I thought was interesting because I figured your grandmother would live in Florida.
Right.
So we had two Florida kids. We've had a kid from Austin, Texas, visiting that was in town that one of their friends had done it. So, I mean, you know, I think, you know, the one thing I didn't say that I would want to say is just keep spreading the word. If you've been involved in this, or if you're interested, shoot me an email. I'm happy to do a Zoom call with anybody to tell them more about it or show them, you know, some of our success stories.
Well, good news to you. I'm heading out to a clinic this Friday, so I get to experience it myself and hopefully see maybe you, Lauren, in action coaching. But no, I 100% am very happy you brought that up, because even in my previous job, the kids would join the club or the team, and then the parents are like, well, I want to ride. And then the younger siblings are like, shoot, this is fun. I want to ride. So then everyone just keeps getting, and NICA specifically, I know this is not Learn to Ride, but they have data, like numbers showing and proving that the sport and word of mouth and just like bringing a family together through cycling is really important. So sorry, Lauren, I kind of cut you off.
I was just going to add that one thing. You know, if your kid isn't riding, think back to when you started riding and the memories of that. I know, coming from a bigger family, my dad was putting bikes together for all of us and passing them down and all. But when we would get a Saturday morning or something just to be with dad and nobody else, that was like so incredible, just the good bonding time. Sure. And that was a skill that and I grew up in Pittsburgh too, so a lot of hills, so a lot of challenges for a little kid, but we did it, and it was just that special time with him, that special memory, and then the freedom that comes with it, like Matt said, with his grandsons or your children, kind of giving them the free rein, go, you know. My own sons, both of them, same thing, you know, that was how they got around Carmel around the summers. And you know, one of them he's going over to visit his friend. I'm like, I know that's 10 miles. What are you guys going to do? We're going to ride bikes. Okay. So then they're going to ride some more. And then he's going to ride 10 miles home. I'm like, that's pretty good for a 14-year-old, right? 30 miles. So it really gave them a sense of freedom, or, you know, we're going to stop here for lunch. Okay. You know, so it was really that's what I would encourage parents to remember and to think about, to give their kids that freedom.
So I forgot one thing on my list. Are there things that you need to be donated? Example, cones, nutrition. Like, what if there's granola bars or Gatorade? Are there things that if somebody's like, I want to donate, but I don't have time to be a coach, how else can I give back?
Yeah, I mean, our class size is so small. That's generally like food and stuff like that is pretty manageable for the coaches to bring, you know, a box of, you know, granola bars or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the equipment we've got at this point, under good control. I think if anybody wanted to help out, even if they couldn't become a coach, we're always looking for volunteers. And I think if you had 2 hours to give of a day, you would see the impact firsthand and feel that same satisfaction. I mean, the volunteers feel the same satisfaction that the coaches do when 5 kids learn to ride. It takes everybody there to make it happen. So I think, you know, if anybody could spare some time, we don't need funding at this point, or we don't need supplies. We need a little bit of manpower, woman power, from time to time. We've got a pretty good list, and some of our volunteers over the summers have been college students or high school students, which have been great. But they're all at school right now. So these fall sessions that we just started are new ground for us.
Yeah.
We had a college volunteer this year. Do you remember, Matt? And he didn't ride. He wasn't a cyclist. I don't know. Yeah. He was just looking for some service hours.
That's
or something.
Great.
But he was, after a couple of times, he's like, yeah, you know, this is really motivating me to ride. I went out with my parents and we went, you know, for ice cream or whatever. And he was, you know, it kind of spurred interest in him. And he was, what, 18 years old already. So
yeah.
Anybody can do it. Just sure. If you want to help, it's great.
So perfect timing and transition, because now I can tell our listeners, we've got a clinic coming up on October 11th, which is when I'm going to go visit, the 12th. October 13th and the 19th, all from 1 to 3 PM in Carmel with Coach Lauren. Woo woo. And then a final one, October 27th, but in Florida. So if everyone wants to go travel to Matt in Florida, we're all in, but you know,
we could also add to that calendar too, right, Matt?
We can
add to that calendar if I have available.
Oh yeah. 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 Our calendar is very fluid. We're always adding workshops based on coach availability and demand from parents with kids that need to learn.
Sure. I think that's all the questions I have. I mean, I ask a lot of questions and I appreciate you talking about this. I'm really excited to let the state of Indiana know about what you're doing. One, because I was new to this. And of course, you know, I texted you and we talked about it on the phone, and I'm really excited, and I'm really give you two kudos for doing this, because we need more people like you out there empowering kids to get out and about and off the phones and riding and utilizing, especially in Carmel, all of the different paths and accessibility for bike and pedestrian. So learntoride.us, please connect with them. They've got an 89% success rate, which is incredible, teaching young kids how to ride bikes. Lauren and Matt, I really appreciate your time and taking, you know, this opportunity to talk about your program. And I'm excited to see you, Lauren, on Friday.
That'd Put me great. To work. I'm looking forward to it. I will.
Well, I'll edit this and I'll let you know. And other than that, I hope you two have a great day. Matt, be safe. Keep us posted. Yep. We'll be thinking about you in Florida.
We're good. Yeah. We're good. I think we're in a good spot. So
good. All right, you two. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And have a great day.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for your time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
And just a little quick update. After recording this discussion with Matt and Lauren. I actually traveled out to Carmel on Friday, the 10th or 11th, and I got to experience one of their clinics, which was really neat because it was one great to just see it in action. And after talking to them for about an hour or so about the program, but it was great to see everything that they talked about on the podcast in front of me. And I was able to also work with the children and get these four awesome kiddos riding a bike and really get immersed and into the whole program and what Matt and Lauren are trying to do. So I really recommend going to our social media pages, which is Facebook and Instagram. They have a lot of photos as well as a couple of reels of videos that we created to kind of, you know, display the work that they're doing. And again, if you're interested in getting connected with Matt or Lauren and becoming a coach or getting your children involved, info is in our description, as well as I'll drop the website and information into our biography on our social media pages, but please check it out. But really excited to see great new things getting more kids on bikes in the state of Indiana. So thanks so much. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.